Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode on the Silsila, The Early Echo. And as you know, we try to bring inspiring topics that will help us to become better Muslims in our day-to-day lives. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, today as well, we have a very interesting topic of discussion. And we are hopeful that you will stay till the end. Whenever you are viewing any program on Madani Channel, try to have a notebook or a diary so you can jot down the important Madani pearls of advices and always refer to it at a later stage. As Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned, that capture knowledge by writing it down. And you don't know, maybe tomorrow, maybe after a year or so, you may look back at these notes and use it in your lessons to your children, to your spouse, and to others as well, and it would benefit them, inshallah. The beautiful hadith mentions, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions right now. That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila, to this program of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That what I learn, I will try to practice and share with others. And this is a responsibility of every Muslim. That whatever good I learn, I convey it to the next Muslim, as many as I can. Because the hadith mentions, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. That convey on my behalf, convey from me, even if it is one verse, even if it is one statement. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded of us. And so for each person that you share beneficial knowledge and they practice upon that, you will get the thawab when they practice without any reduction in their reward. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So don't stop. Whatever you are learning, continue spreading it to others, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are many bounties, benefits and blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak. Salawat, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who recites Durood-e Pak abundantly will be closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, indeed, in the current era that we are living in, we see all around us that there's a lot of negatives out there, especially for a believer. There are many areas that are insulting and trying to mock and belittle Islam. And if I don't have confidence, if I'm not proud to be a believer, a Muslim, then that kind of a Muslim will cave in, will end up trying to practice on the values of others, will end up becoming like them. And we see it all the time, that they end up destroying themselves in some cases, destroying the iman because of influence, because the environment is not conducive to Islamic values. Me as a Muslim, I first take my values from what Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded and what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has commanded. The Quran and Hadith, this is where I get my principles from, my values from, my teachings from. So if somebody brings forth some teachings or values or some cultural norms that are in conflict with the Sharia, the Islamic sacred law, as a Muslim, I reject it. I don't need to follow that. I'm not there to force anybody to follow Islamic values and teachings. And so I expect that the next person must not force me to follow their values. Tolerating is one thing. Tolerating is not necessarily accepting. Yes, you make your stance clear. This is what I believe. I'm a Muslim, I believe this. I don't expect you to believe what I believe. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. As Suratul Kafirun mentions, to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. Live and let live. That's the concept that Islam teaches us. No compulsion, la ikraha fi deen. There's no compulsion in Islam. We can't force somebody to become a Muslim. At the same time, don't force me as a Muslim to believe what you believe if it conflicts and contradicts what the law of Allah Azza wa Jal is and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. Sayyiduna Hassan bin Hadr rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned, a person from Baghdad Sharif told me that Sayyiduna Abu Hashim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, once I intended to go to Basra. I reached the shore so I could catch a boat and ferry across. When I got there, I saw that there was a boat, but there was a slave on that boat with the master, and there was space. So I requested them, please take me along with you since you have space. But the master of that slave said, nobody but us will be in this boat because we've hired the whole boat for this journey. Take some other boat. When I heard this, then fortunately that slave goes to the master and says, let this poor person accompany us. So he made the slave made the master's mind, the master, that person said, okay, come. We are leaving now for Basra. The weather was very pleasant. We were sitting separately. I was sitting in one corner and they were busy sitting together, talking, chatting, enjoying the beautiful weather. And then the master tells the slave to bring some food and lay it out on the dining mat. And they both started to eat from there. The slave says that, why don't we call that poor man to join us? So the master said, call him. They called me. I joined them. I was extremely hungry. I didn't have anything to eat, so I joined them. I accepted the invitation. When we finished the meal, that person said to the servant, to the slave, bring me some wine. Bring me some khamar. The servant brings immediately. He starts to drink. He offers me some. I said that certainly I am your guest, but I will never drink this. This is sharab. This is khamr. This is wine. It is haram. It is prohibited and it is najas. And that person said, as you wish, I will have it. He becomes intoxicated to an extent. And in his intoxication, he tells his slave, bring me a musical instrument and start to sing for me. The slave does so. The slave is the slave. He's listening to the master. So the slave brings a musical instrument, starts to play it, starts to sing in a melodious voice. The master starts to sway and dance in joy, rejoicing as he's listening to that music. This continues for a long time. And both of them, they're now intoxicated with pleasure. I was busy in one corner, making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While they were intoxicated with their wine and enjoying their music, I was sitting in a corner making the dhikr of my Rabb Azza wa Jal. After some time, when the intoxication subsided, he turns to me and says that, have you ever heard something so beautiful? How beautiful my slave has sung. Can you sing in this manner? He's asking me. I replied that I can recite a kalam for you that is much more better than the song and anything like the song. That the song has no worth in front of that kalam, that recitation. He became surprised. Is there such a thing which is more, sounds better than music and songs? I replied, yes, there is. So he said, please, can you recite so I know whether your claim is true or not? So I started to recite the following blessed ayat, blessed verses of Surah At-Takwir, part 30, verses 1 to 3. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا الشمس كورت وإذا النجوم كدرت وإذا الجبال سيرت. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. When the sunlight is rolled up, and when the stars fall down, and when the mountains are driven, I continue to recite the Quran. And I started to observe that his condition was changing. His facial features, his expressions, he started to become emotional when he was listening to the verses of the Quran. It was having a direct impact on his heart. He started to cry. He started to cry as he continued to listen to the Quran with undivided attention. And he became humble. It seemed as if the divine kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had illuminated his dark heart, and it greatly affected his heart. Now he was becoming acquainted with the pleasure of divine love. Reciting the following verse, when I reached the following verse, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. And when the records of accounts are laid bare, he said to his slave, I free you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He then took all those containers which contained the wine and emptied it into the sea. He took the musical instruments and broke one by one. And he came close to me. He hugged me and he started to cry even more. He said, my brother, I am very sinful. I've spent my entire life wasting it away in committing sins. If I make tawbah now, if I repent now, will Allah Azza wa Jal accept my repentance? I treated him with love and I replied, without doubt, Allah Azza wa Jal likes very much those who repent and attain purity. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is very pleased with those who repent. No one returns empty-handed from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You repented from him, he Azza wa Jal will surely accept your repentance. So this person, who was a hedonist, only wanted to enjoy his life in sin, in music, in dancing, in wine, in the pleasures of the world, which were disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, his life changed within a moment just by listening to the recitation of the glorious Quran. His heart changed, his mind changed. Subhanallah. He repents of all his sins, his past sins. He repented of all his past sins in front of me and kept seeking forgiveness while he was tearing the entire time. We then reached to Basra and I became his friend for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. We were together as friends for 40 years. We lived like brothers. After 40 years, he passed away. I was so grieved over his demise. And one night, I see him in a dream. And I ask him, my brother, that how has Allah Azza wa Jal treated you? What has happened to you after leaving this dunya? Where are you? Where's your abode? He replied in a very melodious and sweet voice, my Allah Azza wa Jal has sent me to Jannah. When I left the world, I entered into Jannah, to paradise. I asked, oh my brother, for what deed were you blessed with Jannah? He replied, when you read that verse of the Quran, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ, and when the records of account are laid bare, by virtue of its blessings, a transformation took place in my life. And by virtue of this, I have been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Jannah has been granted to me. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, have you seen? Have you seen the effect of having good company, of having a good environment? Had that great scholar of the deen, if that great wali of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if he did not sit in that boat, perhaps that individual would have continued on the path to destruction. But Allah sent this wali, this friend of his, this great scholar of the deen, sent him. And by virtue of him and his company, that individual changed his life completely. 360 degrees turnaround. Subhanallah. This is the effect of good company. And this is the effect of a good environment. When we talk about good environment, we don't just mean an environment where there is safety and security. We mean an Islamic environment. An environment that its foundation is Islamic values, that its teachings is from the Quran and the Hadith and the Sunnah. This is what you will find in the environment of this beautiful and fragrant Madani movement, which is spreading the fragrance of the Sunnah, spreading the fragrance of the teachings of the Quran and Hadith across the globe, from north to east to south to west. And for those who are in it, they know it. So you too, join, become part and parcel of this environment, and you'll see, you'll witness, you will observe for yourself that how it has this effect, a positive effect in my life, how it helps me to transform my life, how it helps me to reform myself, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in order to bring back this Islamic environment in our lives, in our homes, in our societies, Dawud Islami has several services, facilities, platforms, activities on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. Why? For what reason? Because we have to consistently work at it. Every day of our life, Shaitan is there. He's trying to break us. He's trying to stop us. Not physically. He just whispers evil ideas. And you know what? He can even whisper in your own voice, your very own voice. And you think it's your idea. You think that you are talking to yourself in your mind, when actually Shaitan is using your voice to persuade you, to influence you not to do a good or to do a bad. Subhanallah, to delay. These are part of his delay tactics. So be very careful, be wary of this. Shaitan has too many tricks. He's got a book of tricks and traps, and he knows which buttons to press. He knows you. He can flow in your veins, in your blood. He knows which buttons to press. He knows exactly what your weaknesses are. Be careful of this. Always surround yourself with people who are constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are constantly talking about Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, Ishqi Rasul, love of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love of the Sahaba Ikram, love of the Ahlul Bayt, love of the Awliya Allah. Always be with these people. And you'll find this in the circles and environment of Dawat-e-Islami. So no matter what the person's race is, what the person's ethnicity is, what the person's madhab is, what the person's background is, whether the person is of a high financial standing or low, it doesn't matter. Dawat-e-Islami is an umbrella. An umbrella for all madhabs, for all silsilas, to come together and to work as in a united front, to take this message of Islam across the globe, subhanallah azza wa jal. In this fragrant Madani environment, subhanallah azza wa jal, you will find there's always something that we can learn from. Whether it's the dars, the ijtima, whether it's Madani channel, Madani mudhakara, whether it's the halqa, always something we're always learning. On a daily basis, you know, the experts, they say that every single day of your life, try to learn at least one thing. At least, even if it's something small. If you did this, then at the end of the year, you would have learned 365 new things. And subhanallah, look at the benefit of Dawat-e-Islami in this environment. Every day you have several opportunities to learn more than one thing. Or even you have learnt it, but maybe you forgot. Maybe you're not practicing. And you needed that extra time to remind you. And now you'll say, okay, let me practice now. Let me use a Miswak Sharif now. Let me start with my Tahajjud Salah now, my Ishraq and Chasht and Awabin Salah now. Let me start my Nafil Salahs, my Nafil Ibadat, my Nafil Fas. Let me give some charity to help the Ummah. Let me get involved. Let me travel with the Madani Qafila. Let me attend the Ijtima. Something, somewhere. It's all about bettering yourself. Self-improvement. And in this environment of Dawat-e-Islami, this is one of the blessings of it. It does become easier because everybody's doing it. Everybody's practicing Sunnah. Everybody's talking about Sunnah. That's your base of operations. The Madani Markaz, the Islamic Center of Dawat-e-Islami, your Jami'atul Madina, your Madrasatul Madina. These are your base of operations. And from there, you take in all that motivation, encouragement, and you go out and you give to others. You spread the fragrance to others. You spread those flowers and madani pearls to others as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know that bees, they make honey which is very beneficial to human beings in particular. And the Quran mentions, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يخرج من بطونها شراب مختلف ألوانه فيه شفاء للناس. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. From their bellies comes a drink of various colors in which is health for humanity. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We all know this. We know the health benefits that are contained in honey. It doesn't just taste good, but it has a lot of cures to different types of problems, diseases, and sicknesses as well. Now these, by having the company of flowers, by visiting flowers, fragrant flowers, this is the benefit where the pollen is taken in and what is produced, honey is produced. Look at the end result. So let's ask ourselves a question. In which direction is my life going right now? Path towards Jannah or the path towards Jahannam? Is it towards obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or is it towards obedience of my desires, my nafs and shaitan and the desires of the people? These are serious questions to ask ourselves. the great scholar Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned that the pathway towards Jannah, towards paradise, is littered with obstacles, with problems, with troubles and difficulties. And the pathway towards Jahannam is a smooth sailing pathway with many attractions, many things that appeal to people, and many entertainments. And he says, most of the people are on this path, which is easy, which is simple, and very few are on the path towards Jannah. He says, even fewer people reach the destination, which is Jannah. So I want you to think about it. How am I living my life? For the entertainment, for the music that's out there, the dramas and the series and soapies and movies and gambling, drugs, alcohol, clubs, pubs, music, dancing, pleasure. The person may feel that, you know what, I'm getting an instant fix of pleasure. The dopamine hormones are flooding through my system and I feel good. But how long do you feel good for? Of course, this is addressed to those who are involved in those things. For those who are not, for those who protect their haya, their modesty and morality, for those who obey Allah and His Rasul, may Allah bless you. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to think about this seriously. Which pathway am I on? Who am I obedient to? And then I'll realize which way I'm heading. Whether I'm heading towards success or I am heading towards destruction. The choice is mine and the choice is yours. But keep in mind, we have limited free will. I get to choose here. Allah Azza wa Jal has given me that ability to choose to take the right way or to take the left way, to take the wrong way. I have the ability to choose that, but I don't have power to choose the consequences. If I choose the right way, there's a consequence, there's some ramifications of where that is going to lead to. If I choose the wrong way, then I know which way I'm heading. Straight, one way, straight road. Unless I quickly make a U-turn, the highway of life, the right way is towards the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and through the mercy of Allah is Jannah. The wrong way, if I get to the end without making tawbah and repenting and making that U-turn, I'm living my life in disobedience to my Creator, to my Master. And so maybe I won't even know it, but I'm actually obeying the devil, shaitan, and my desires, and I have become a slave to the desires of certain people in society, whether you know them or you don't, but just to fit in, you know, the social construct and the social culture that has been created by a certain group of people here and there who don't even believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't even obey Allah Azza wa Jal, who disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, who disobey Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who are against the teachings of the Quran, the Hadith, the Sunnah. I must follow them. I must follow in their footsteps. The people who are running to the path of Jahannam, I must follow them. That's amazing. Truly amazing. It shows the intelligence of a person who chooses to follow that person who disagrees with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who disagrees with the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they are, of course, puppets of shaitan. They are followers of shaitan, even if they don't claim it. But from the belief system, you get to know, okay, the teacher is shaitan. Shaitan has taught them this. Because shaitan has taught other generations as well. Don't obey Allah. No. Don't obey the Prophet. You want power. You want recognition. You want this. You want that. He whispers all these ideas into their minds. Fills it up. And they think it's their ideas. and they start promoting it one by one, group by group, and they get into social media and they start influencing others. And they call them influencers today, to influence you and to influence the youth in particular. Don't, and they won't tell you this. Some of them may, but directly they're not telling you. Indirectly they are telling you, don't listen to Allah, listen to me. Don't listen to the Quran, listen to us. Don't listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's all, you know, old school, back in the days. It's old time. We are the future. And the poor Muslim that feels that, you know what, I got to fit in over there. I got to rub shoulders with these people, and otherwise I'll be left behind. And, you know I need to also be relevant. I need to develop my reputation. I need to be like them. I need to ape them. What monkey sees, that's what monkey does. So I need to be like that. Because these are the people who are there in social media and who are known as people who are relevant, and come on, you know, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. They don't care about you. They care nothing for you. If you die today, how is that person, how are those people and groups going to help you? Ask yourself that question. How are you going to help me? Today you want me to follow you? Your ideology, your teachings, your values, which contradicts Islam. How are you going to help me when I close my eyes? Ask that person that question. Whether it's, you know, some sports people or musicians or actresses or this lobby and this group and whoever it can be. Ask the guy the question, you want me to follow you? Why? How are you going to benefit me when I'm in the grave? How are you going to benefit me on the Day of Judgment? They can't benefit you nothing. They just want you to become their slave, to add to their followers, to add to their numbers so they can show the world like, yes, we are right, we are correct. You may need your numbers to add up so it seems like we are a lot. And it's just a handful of people who believe here, a handful there, a handful here. That's it. But it's just the people are below, they want to fit in, they want to be relevant, they want to, you know, be in that culture. So they're following. They don't necessarily believe in that. Many of them don't believe in it. But they say, no, we tolerate, we make friends, this, that, whatever it is. But your iman could be a danger. Because the people that you are following and you are associated with, the environments that you are in, even if you don't change, but you are in this environment, perhaps tomorrow your offspring will become part of this environment. Why? My mother and father was following this group, used to attend these rallies and these protests and these meetings and be with these organizations. They were part and parcel of it. So I've joined as well. So maybe your offspring will become the forerunners, and the front runners will become the leaders of that corrupt organization and groups. And which parent wants to see their child burning in hellfire, burning in Jahannam? Which parent? But if you are pushing your child towards Jahannam, what are you going to expect? How many parents out there are pushing their children, whether they know it or they don't realize it? They are entertaining premarital relationships, premarital communications, when there's no nikah. If there's no nikah, they are both haram for each other. Even if it's a text message, it's strictly forbidden. That's going to go to the next level and then the next level. Only nikah makes it halal. If there's no nikah, sorry. And some people insist, no, but I need to get to know, we need to get to know each other. And no, that's after nikah. That's after nikah. Because if you're talking like this, it means you are coming from an environment that hasn't taught you Islamic values. Because now you are talking about un-Islamic values. That's what they do in un-Islamic environments. That's how they think, that's how they talk, which means they have trained you. You don't know it, You haven't realized it, but they have trained you. They have indoctrinated your mind. They know you have to get to know each other. How many of them are out there? 5 years, 10 years, dating each other, and still not married? And you know what happens? You know what happens? Go and do a cursory study. Research for yourself one of the reasons why their marriages cannot last. It's a proven fact from themselves. Their marriages are just not lasting. Mostly today, their marriages are just collapsing. Why? One of the reasons is the cheating. And one of the other reasons is they get bored with each other. I got bored. So ended up cheating. So you know everything about the person before marriage. When you get married, now what? What are you going to ask? What are you going to find out? Allahu Akbar. So it's something spontaneous on the spot that I'm finding out. After nikah, okay, now I'm finding out these things. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who places that love between the hearts of husband and wife. So, no, I'm going to fall in love first. Yes, there is a certain aspect of where the person would be physically appealing. However, again, it all boils down to which environment has trained me? Which environment has tutored me, has mentored me? That's how I will think. That's how I will live. So Islam teaches us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, alaykum bid-deen. Go for the one that is deeni inclined, Islamically inclined. Not the one that just looks handsome or beautiful. What about the character of the person? Is a person polite? Does a person have bad habits? And you need to do your investigations from third parties, from reliable, trustworthy third parties. You got to find out. You don't want your daughter to get married to somebody that after marriage, oh, this person is a drug addict. This person is a drug dealer. Or this person is an alcoholic. Or this person loves, he stays in the pubs and the clubs and music and dancing. That's where he stays. Or on the other side also, you don't want your son to get married to a girl that, you know, same thing. The club is a second home. And everybody and anybody can just feast their eyes. So you have to do your research. Your son, your daughter, you need to create their mindset. Keep them in the environment of Dawud Islami, and automatically they'll use that mindset that no. Yes, okay. Person is appealing, physically attractive. Do they read the 5 times salah? Do they practice sunnah? The girl, is she in parda, niqab, the veil? How does she dress? How does she behave? How does she treat her parents? And the other side, the boy, does he have a one-fist beard? Does he read the salahs? Does he practice sunnah? You know, our teachers used to say, and this is amazing, I want you to think about this. The youngsters out there, they can create a revolution, a Madani revolution, a spiritual revolution, an Islamic revolution in their own lives, in their own societies. They can do it. How? Very simple way. But you as a parent or grandparent needs to first train them up. And believe me, if you don't do it, if you don't create that environment, positive environment of Islamic values. If you don't do it, you will see what's going to happen. The others out there, the wolves out there, they are going to tear them to pieces. And they are going to fill their minds, especially the impressionable youngsters and kids. From kids they're starting with the cartoons. Those innocent, entertaining cartoons, that's where they got your child. This is why when you go into the shop and you want to buy a clothing for your child and your child insists, no, I want this shirt or t-shirt or pants or whatever it is with this cartoon figure on it, this cartoon's picture. I want this pencil case. I want this phone cover with this cartoon's picture on it, with that cartoon's picture on it. They have marketed well. That's their marketing. Because they're not happy that your child is just being indoctrinated by their filthy, corrupt values in the cartoons. No. We need to get money out from this, the parent of this child. How? By, you know, this is the cool, this is the in thing. This, you gotta have this. And they won't say it. A lot of it is indirect, subliminally to the brain, the messages. How can I squeeze this parent out of the hard-earned money through that child? By making the child's mind, this is cool. This is it. You gotta have this, yeah. So that is something that you can witness and observe for yourself in your own home with your own child. When they demand that I want this, this, and this items with these figureheads, with these cartoon pictures, then you know. They have indoctrinated, they have trained my child with that. What else have they indoctrinated my child with? These most sinister things that they are indoctrinating your child. They are teaching your little girls, your daughters, they are teaching them burqa is, they're not saying it. They won't say it. Because they know you'll switch the TV off immediately. But the message which is coming through, burqa is bad. Cloak, come on, man. Don't be old-fashioned. So they're looking at those princesses in inverted commas that don't exist. The princesses, how they are dressed. And they are, no, they are the beautiful dress. And they're looking at those cartoon females, the characters. And one thing that's being consistently bombarded into their minds, their eyes, their thoughts. There's no burqa here. There's tight-fitting dresses. Sometimes there's no pants. There's no sleeves, no cloak, no scarves, no covering of the head, the hair, the face. So that's, you know, that starts to make its impression on the minds. There's no beards here. Everybody's clean-shaven. I mean, this is the cool group to be. This is the cool clique. This is it. You know, that's the direction to head in. That's the teaching they are giving to your little daughter, your little son. Everything un-Islamic. Because the people behind the cartoons, the animators, the creators, guess what? They don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in shaitan. Yes? You go and do the research. Yourself, I urge you, go and do the research and find out. The people behind the cartoons are filthy, dirty, immoral, immodest individuals who have rejected Allah and who praise shaitan. That's the people who are feeding these cartoons, feeding these informations to my child and daughter. From small, catch them when they're small. And then as they're growing up, the series, the teen series, the college series, the dramas and soapies and the movies. And so from small till elderly, catch them along the way with some kind of entertainment that you are continuously indoctrinating their mind, brainwashing their mind. This is the, if you want to be cool, if you want to be relevant, then this is who you need to be looking like. And all these action figures, these superheroes who are fake, who don't exist, do you know who they represent? They represent pagan gods. You heard it right. The same superhero that my child likes and wants their t-shirt and dress and this and that is a representation of a pagan god. That's the latest research of why they came up with these concepts. Because now people don't really, you may find a handful of pagans that claim to be pagan, but as they were before, you're not going to find them anymore. That you should believe in all these Greek, Roman, Egyptian pagan gods that never existed. It's all shaitan actually. It's just shaitan bluffing the people and he corrupted the iman, destroyed the iman, and they started worshipping him. So to revive that culture, these so-called superheroes were created, which our children are just swallowing in and being indoctrinated. So be careful of this. You have to create the environment. Otherwise, they will just get caught and sucked into that environment created by these enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, enemies of Islam, followers of Shaitan. Allah protect us and our families and our offsprings as well. Ameen bi jahi khatim an-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a beautiful hadith mentioned. It mentions that there's some good news for those people who conduct a halqah, a gathering, a circle of dhikrullah, and those who make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the gathering. And it's a lengthy hadith, but towards the end of the hadith, you can find this in Sahih Muslim Sharif, hadith number 2689. Towards the ending of the hadith, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, فَيَقُولُونَ رَبِّي فِيهِمْ فُلَانٌ عَبْدٌ خَطَّاءٌ إِنَّمَا مَرَّ فَجَلَسَ مَعَهُمْ. Allahu Akbar. The angels, they humbly, they say in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O merciful Allah, amongst those people who are making the dhikr, your dhikr, ya Allah, amongst them was so-and-so person. He was a great sinner. When he passed by the people who were making the dhikr of Allah, he decided to sit down with them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Allah azza wa jal stated, وَلَهُ غَفَرْتُ هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَى بِهِمْ جَلِيسُهُمْ. That I have also forgiven him because it is a gathering of making dhikr, that the one who sits with them is also not unfortunate. Allah. We are talking about environment, positive, good environment. Imagine, even like Ijtima of Dawud Islami, the Ijtima of Dawud Islami that happens every week, where there is also dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. And if you just come and sit for a few moments to make Allah happy, you don't know, maybe that's the reason why Allah out of His infinite mercy will forgive you. We are thinking and we are, you know, like, how can I gain the forgiveness of Allah? I mean, I've just went down, just down in my life. How do I get back up? By changing the company you keep, by changing the paint on your walls, by adding a fresh new set of paint. Meaning, with whom have you surrounded yourself? Those are like your walls, because you're restricted there now. You listen to them, you're influenced by them, you follow them on social media because they're influencers. How, in which direction are they influencing you? Just to make money, that's it. Money, 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 business, wealth, power, properties, this, that, investment. I imagine you're busy with all of that and all of a sudden, you're gone. On the spot, you're gone. Death. Now what? The influences got nothing to do with you. Your family and close friends, they will make sure ghusl takes place, kafan takes place, all the normal etiquettes are followed, you are buried, they read for you, send you Isali Sawab. The influencers, they don't even know you died. They don't care you died. Subhanallah, balance your time. Balance your life. Islam is the middle path. That's what we are taught. Is the medium way. Not too much, not too little. Center. Balance it. As you invest in business and in your work, You invest your time, your energy, your efforts in that. Also, give some time to your family, to your parents. Don't leave your parents. You know, they say, it's easier to look after your children than to look after your parents. Your parents who are gone old and are not contributing financially anymore, especially your father. It's harder to look after them than to look after your kids, despite all the expenses of the school fees and this and whatever it is. This is in the minds of so many people. Look at the end result. If your mother and father are happy with you, Allahu Akbar, then what? Then you got it. You got the prize. If your mother is happy with you, don't forget, Jannah is under her feet. If your father is happy with you, don't forget, Allah is happy with you. Don't you remember the narration? The pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal lies in the pleasure of the father, and the displeasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala lies in the displeasure of the father. Are my mother and father happy with me? Or have I taken them because of the indoctrination from the environment I am in? I have taken them and just thrown them in an old age home, which euphemistically, and to make it not sound bad, a care center. A care center? You've dumped them over there when they're supposed to be with you? Where you're supposed to be looking after them? I can't look after them. Time and... Allahu Akbar. How ungrateful is that? It's your loss. It's your loss. You're supposed to make the time. You're supposed to create the facilities in your home. Not throw them into a temporary morgue and mortuary and forget about them and enjoy your life with your spouse and your family and your kids. That somebody's looking after them now. Somebody's taking care of them. The way I can't look after them. Is that why your parent gave birth to you? Is that why the parent finished their youth, finished their energy? The father, he bent his back for you. He, you know, sweated blood for you to make sure that you had the facilities, that roof over your head, the food to eat, the comforts, the luxuries, that you had the opportunity to go and to school, to university, to educate yourself. He pushed you. It was hard on you. That mother finished off her beauty by giving birth to you, by changing your nappy, by dealing with you, tolerating you, having patience with you, making sure, feeding you, and all of this. And the end result, you just dump them like trash in the old age home. Amazing, amazing. Wait till your son or daughter does it to you. Wait. It's going to happen. Just wait, it's going to happen. You'll think like, this child of mine, I finished my energy to make sure this child became a success. And today, when I can't contribute anything, I'm just thrown away into the bin. Wake up. If you think like this, if you talk like this, it's an environment that has trained you. Because the Islamic environment doesn't teach this. It teaches, no, you have to do it. You have to look after them. You have to do the khidmat. You have to serve them. Serve them till the very end. Dawud Islami is giving us this mindset, this madani mindset. Come back. Divorce yourself from all those so-called friends and influences that are pulling you down towards the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divorce them, cut them off. They are your losses. They are your losses, I promise you. They have no benefit for you when you're in the grave and the hereafter. But if you obey Allah and His Rasul, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll be smiling at the grave and the hereafter. Assuredly. So cut all of them, organizations, individuals, friends, social media, whatever it is, the influences, cut them off from your life and surround yourself with people who are reminding you of your duties as a Muslim, reminding you of the hereafter as well. Join Dawud Islami. Be part and parcel of Dawud Islami. Believe me, your mindset will change. And until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Start your day with remembrance of